All right. Good morning. So today's lesson, after debate over which one it was, is use technology wisely. Now, when I see the word technology, I think of, well, what do you think of whenever you hear the word technology? Computers, smartphones, that kind of stuff. All the stuff that we have like right now. But the Bible uses it, the definition that they give is, in the broad sense of the word, the application of knowledge to accomplish a task. So technology goes way back because they were constantly inventing new things to do everyday tasks that they needed to do. So, as I said, it's use technology wisely. It's divided into three parts. God gives abilities to create, when abilities are used to glorify self, and do everything for the glory of God. So, in February 2020, statistics indicate that YouTubers uploaded more than 500 hours of video every day. No, every minute. Every minute. So, it's a 40% growth since 2014. So 500 hours of video every minute. That's mind-boggling. And they say that we use more technology now in one day than our great-grandparents used in their entire lifetime. So that depends on the term, and like I said, the application, that they're using it in the broad sense of the application of knowledge to accomplish a task. So that includes instruments and methods resulting from all the inventions that have been a long time. So we all, almost all of us have smartphones, and we have computers at home, which are far different from the bulky ones that we had a long time ago. And every 3 years, they're outdated, practically, right? If not sooner. Most congregations have projectors and monitors that are run by computers, and they provide our announcements, words to song, scripture, and sometimes even a pastor's sermon outline. It assists us with sound systems, heating and cooling systems, and even robots to vacuum some sanctuaries. Websites and blogs help us to get the good news out to people that avoid church or can't come to church any longer. Technology is a tool, and like most tools, it can be used for wise purposes or for evil. Now we have the concerns of privacy and somebody taking our identity. We have the debate over artificial intelligence. All of this is going on. But throughout the Old Testament, we see creative people that developed what would have been, considered new technology at that time. Some of it was used for wrong purposes, some to glorify God. But the status of our hearts determines the use of God's gift to us. God has given each of us both abilities and gifts and tools to accomplish great things. How we use these can have eternal results, both good and bad. And the comment here was, God was so wise, he didn't give us a Bible that would address every single situation that we have. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to carry it around. So he chose to provide principles that enable us to examine our rapidly changing world through a Bible's perspective. So the first perspective it gives us, the first principle, is God gives abilities to create. And our first reference is in Exodus 31, 1-5, where Moses is getting all the instructions from God on how to build the tabernacle and what to put in it and so on. So, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Sounded to me like Bezaleel was one heck of a skilled person to be able to do all these things. Now, leading up to this, God had told Moses about all these detailed plans for the tabernacle and its furnishings. Then he went from the material or the physical aspect of it to the spiritual, and it included the dedication of the priests and the preparation for worship. It reminds us that you can have all the right elements, you can have all the perfect surroundings, but if you don't have the spiritual, the necessary instruction, and if God's not in it, then it doesn't mean anything. All these instructions that God gave to Moses were useless without somebody skilled enough to do it. So Moses had been highly educated in Egypt. He had all the education that he needed to be a Pharaoh or in the Pharaoh's family. And he had experience taking care of sheep. The children of Israel knew how to make bricks and do manual labor, but nobody was qualified to do what needed to be done to build this tabernacle. So God's instructions required someone with specialized skills and to put them together that honored his plan. They weren't supposed to be constructed in a haphazard manner. The goal wasn't to just get them done. The goal was to get them done correctly, and it's because they were going to be used to worship God. So Bezaleel was called by God to the tasks. It wasn't more than just, okay, you have this work to do, Bezaleel. God actually commissioned him and filled him with the Spirit of God. The imagery is that of a vessel poured into until it's completely occupied with God's Spirit. And this is a foreshadow of the New Testament, where the Holy Spirit is used to infill believers so that we can accomplish God's service. Bezaleel was filled with skill or wisdom, intelligence, understanding, perceptive knowledge, and a capacity to perform all manner of workmanship. He was also given the capability to plan out the work required. He wasn't called because he was special or gifted. He was special because he was called. He was gifted because God imparted those gifts to him. And this is a reminder of 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, which tells us about the gifts of the Spirit. And people are often hesitant to ask for the gifts of the Spirit because I think they might be a little bit afraid of them, or they might feel that they're unworthy or incapable of doing what God wants them to do. But Paul says in 7:11 that every believer has been given a spiritual gift. Like Bezaleel, we need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit and use the gifts that God has given us. And we're going to answer for what we have done with them. Another person that God gifted was Uzziah. And that's taken from 2 Chronicles 26:9-10, 14-15. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped, so he was strong. So Uzziah came to the throne in Judah when he was 16. He ruled for 52 years. And the verse 4 says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. God not only helped him subdue the enemies of Judah, but he also gave him creative genius and inventive ability. And it talks about how in ancient times they built walls around the cities to protect themselves. And Solomon had built a wall around Jerusalem. But the only problem was when the gates were up and the walls were around, they couldn't see who was coming at them. So Uzziah, in his creativity here, built towers on each corner so that they could look out and see who was coming at them. And Let's see, he built towers along the walls and gates at the corners of the walls. So this gave them a great military advantage, which allowed them to see and repel anyone approaching the city. And he didn't forget that he went outside the Jerusalem walls too, and he built towers in the desert. That provided two different benefits. First, they could see the enemy coming, and also it enabled them to protect the crops. He said, a nation without a way to provide food for their army is not going to succeed. They have to have the necessary food and water necessary for life, cattle, and the raising of bountiful crops. So he took agriculture and husbandry to another level before those of his predecessors. His army numbered over 300,000, so that required a lot of military gear. So he devised, his visionary thinking produced devices, engines capable of shooting arrows, which probably were similar to the catapults that we know of through the Romans. He did a lot of with body armor and weapons. The body armor was called habergeons, and they were sleeveless coats of armor. They didn't list swords on there because each man was expected to have his own sword that reflected his size and ability. So there's numerous spiritual applications to these verses. We are truly successful only when we seek and follow God. Awareness of the enemy's approaching points helps us fortify our heart against his attacks. It's better to plan ahead and prepare our spiritual weapons for those attacks than react whenever they happen. Also, we must make sure we are fed through the Word and well watered by the Spirit. Technology used correctly can assist us and support us in helping others. Now, unfortunately, Uzziah's power gave way to pride, which led to his downfall. And that teaches us that when God gives us gifts for his glory, we need to be cautious to remember that any success we have comes from God himself. The second principle, when abilities are used to glorify self, which kind of refers back to Uzziah here, and deals with the Tower of Babel. And the whole earth, this is taken from Genesis 11, 1-4, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. There's a note here that says that there were different dialects, because some places it says about talking different languages, and it explains that it was one language and there was different dialects, maybe like the English have a different dialect than the Americans and so on. So the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn or harden them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime or tar that they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. In making a name, they wanted to become famous, of course. So following the flood, and the earth started to repopulate again, and there was a one language. let me skip some down here. So migration started taking place, and they came together. They found a place in Babylonia called Shinar. It was between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, north of the Persian Gulf. His sentence, this region cannot stay out of history books or news. Little did they know, whenever they wrote this, about the conditions over there now. They used technology of their time to make bricks from fire-hardened clay, and the slime that they talk about was a sticky tar-like substance. Up to this time, people lived in tents. Those were the shelters that they used, and they moved from building a city in which to dwell to building a monument to memorialize their ability. Their goal was to reach unto heaven, the dwelling place of God, to make a name for themselves, resist the dispersion that they thought God was going to do in the future. They thought he was going to split them up. And this was similar to the declaration of Satan in his rebellion against God. In both cases, the driving force was pride. Unrepentant pride always has only one outcome. And then here it says, the people gathered in Babel, and they had extraordinary building skills. They knew how to make the bricks by firing them instead of drying them in the sun. And they also used this slime that they had found, the tar-like substance. The structure that they built was unlike anything that humans had ever created before. This sounds like good news, but the people's motivation to become famous and build one civilization rather than filling the earth as God had commanded led them astray. They had missed God's purpose. God gives extraordinary gifts for specific reasons. Public gifts like speaking or singing can minister powerfully to people, but they can also distract from God himself. It's all too easy to get caught up in other people's feedback and forget the reason God gave us a sermon or a song in the first place. The people of Babel chose to abandon God's purpose and use their gifts to elevate themselves. Christians must focus on giving all the glory to God and keeping our motivations pure, remembering that God's purposes may be completely different from ours. Because Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So now we move to Genesis 11:5-9. And please, any comments are welcome as we go through here. "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language." Now this refers to the Godhead, the Trinity, because he says, "Let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. So God was aware of all this stuff that was going on down there. He knew what they were intending to do and how they were feeling. He was aware of their unity. He wasn't caught by surprise. So it was a resolute technological goal to achieve self-determination. And this is the danger of technology. It's easy to become dependent and to place confidence in it. Technology can incrementally edge out God's place of primacy in our lives unless we are vigilant and intentional. The people of Babel constructed their tower with the intent of making a name for themselves. Such selfish pride has led many kingdoms to destruction. It gives the examples of Pharaoh. He defied God's command to let his people go, and his entire army was swallowed up by the sea. King Belshazzar threw a royal party using cups stolen from the temple. The kingdom of Babylon fell that same night. Those who build online kingdoms with the intent of self-advancement are essentially constructing their own virtual towers of Babel, as it relates to today. God will judge everyone based on their actions. For those who seek God's glory and continue to do good, there is the promise of eternal life. However, God will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. When Christians focus on people's gifts and abilities instead of the message of Christ, ministries collapse and leaders fail. Paul said, "I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." An effective ministry and a godly life must be built on God's power alone. And the question here is, what can happen if a ministry is built on a person's abilities alone? Any thoughts on that? I'm giving you guys proper wait time. Well, I guess, you know, all of our abilities run out. If we didn't have what God gave us, we wouldn't be very capable. We wouldn't have the the abilities or the gifts to do anything. So sooner or later, it's going to run out, and they're not going to be able to continue it. Good morning. All right. You do have it up there. Thanks, Terry. Okay, now the second part of that was they're confused and scattered. Did I do that already? Yes, I did. Let's move on to the third principle. Learn from Israel's failures. Do everything for the glory of God. Okay, so this is 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 11. Can't see the quote. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in a wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Okay, I'm just looking to see if that's different. These events happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did. Or worship idols as some of them did. For the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged themselves in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel of death to destroy them. So it's going back to talking about whenever the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, and the people were down there doing things they weren't supposed to be doing, misbehaving. And then 23,000 of them died because of their behavior. So it goes into a lot of detail here, but we all know that. Okay. Part here, do everything from the glory of God. Do not test Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul compares the Israelites' journey in the wilderness with our Christian walk. Like them, we have been given great gifts from God. These things happen to them as examples for us. Will we repeat their mistakes? Technology is a remarkable gift. Anyone with internet access can send a message across the world in a blink of an eye. We can access any version of scripture and dozens of commentaries anytime we want. These gifts are effective tools for spreading the gospel. Moses argued when God told him to speak to the elders of Israel and to lead the people out of Egypt. Then the Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" God would use the shepherd's staff in Moses' hand to perform miracles and convince the Israelite elders that Moses' message came from God. We can use technology to represent Christ well, or we could give the church a bad name. Paul warned, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall." Then he shared one of the Bible's greatest promises. God is faithful. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So think about what gifts God has placed in your hand, and how you can use them for his glory. Now going to 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Paul instructed the Corinthians, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We miss opportunities every day to have an impact for the sake of the gospel. Many believers post on social media without considering how they might reflect the glory of God. On the other hand, liking or sharing content that is hurtful or glorifies evil detracts from our witness. Every post does not need to be a sermon, but we must consider how we can represent God in every aspect of our lives. When using the tools of technology, we can use godly wisdom and speak life. So he asks us, how could we change our online habits to bring greater glory to God? Christians today enjoy unprecedented blessings that we can use for God's glory. You can start with something simple, as posting a testimony or sharing a video that impacted your life. You can use technology to further the kingdom of God. And one last example that they give here is they compare technology to a hammer. A hammer was one of the earliest forms of technology. And as we said before, technology is the application of knowledge. Therefore, it should be viewed as a tool, much like a hammer is a tool. One can utilize a hammer and build a house, or one can wield a hammer to take a human life or destroy. We have to make those decisions, how we're going to use the tools that we're given. And hopefully we will use them to glorify God and to bring others to Christ. So, any comments or questions? Technology to me, I mean, as I said before when we started, technology was, whenever I hear the word technology, I think, ooh, computers, all kinds of problems with computers, Facebook, all the social media, that trouble that it's causing. And yet, it can bring about a lot of good, too. Just think of like all the different messages we can hear. And even, you know, since Jose was here and Terry provides all this for other people that can't be in church, so it can be used in a very, very beneficial way. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for your guidance in all of our problems in life. We just pray now that you would help us to use the knowledge and the wisdom that you've given each of us. Help us to seek our own gifts, Lord, and to use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.